Yo. Yo. Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone. We bout to party. We bout to party. Unrestricted. Got the house now. We gon' turn it up.
This is AEW Unrestricted. We are the official podcast of All Elite Wrestling. And along with Aubrey Edwards, I'm Tony Schiavone. Hey, Aubrey, how are you?
Hi, hello. I'm doing good, but not as comfy as your dog is right there.
Yeah, Bug needed to be held this morning for some reason, so I'm going to hold him. We were down on the in the family room, and he was all cuddled up with me. And so I brought him up here, put him in his bed, and then he looked at me like he just stares at me. So when he stares at me, I know what's going on. So here he is. How was the Jericho cruise for you?
It was a blur. I don't even drink and I felt hungover.
Wow.
It's so much and it's so exciting and there's so many fans and it's an experience unlike anything else just because
right. You're
walking around on this boat in the middle of the ocean with all these awesome wrestlers. You get to see them perform. You get all these awesome rock concerts. And there's so many moments that just happen on the cruise that can't happen anywhere else.
Right.
And it was really great. I loved it.
Speaking of Jericho, speaking of the Jericho cruise, Chris Jericho, of course, is the purveyor of that cruise. And we can't think of Chris Jericho recently without thinking of Action Andretti, who is our guest here this week. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great, brother. So on the 14th of December,
oh my God,
you have your debut on Dynamite against Chris Jericho at Winter Is Coming. And secure the win, which many people are saying is one of the biggest wins ever in wrestling. Certainly the biggest upset ever in AEW. Talk about your thoughts right after that match and after you secured the win.
Wow. I mean, my thoughts were everywhere after that match. It was a lot to soak in and realize like what just really happened out there. You know, like I had a lot going on in my head before the match, you know, and then, yeah, all the things after. I knew I just accomplished a huge thing in my life, like the biggest accomplishment I have ever accomplished in my life. And I knew that it was going to change from there. It was most likely not going to be the same. And it has not.
Right.
Yeah. I was very overwhelmed in a way with just several different emotions after that match. I knew things were going to change for the better for me. And it felt great.
I was there. So I know this story, but our listeners don't, obviously. How did this match all come together? How did you find out all of this was happening and that you were going to go over?
I wrestled QT a couple months prior to that. QT Marshall and I wrestled, and we had a phenomenal match. And
it was very good.
Thank you. Thank you. The crowd was very into it. The crowd was very behind me, which was like something you don't see coming in as an extra too much, you know, getting the crowd behind you. Yeah, we went out there and we had a really good match together. Like I said, had the fans really into it. And Chris happened to see that match that night. He really liked what he saw out of me. And a couple months later, I got an email to get flown out to Texas for AEW. I had no clue what I was going out there for, but I've never been flown out before for any AEW event or wrestling event, period. I've never been flown out before. That alone was new for me. You know, I get to Texas the night before Dynamite on Tuesday. No clue what I'm doing. Seeing all the wrestlers around, like, they know each other. They don't know who the hell I am. I'm the new kid here. Like, what's this guy doing here? And then we get to TV that next day. And, you know, I saw the announcement that Chris Jericho was going to be in action. Yeah, no pun intended. I had my fingers crossed. Like, hey, maybe that's something I could do. I remember seeing the House of Black in action as well. You know, I was like, maybe I'll just be doing a six-man with them. Like, who knows what I'm doing here? You know, I got the conversation that I was going to be wrestling Chris that night. And I couldn't believe that was going to be happening, that I was just going to be wrestling him in general. Getting out to wrestle on live TV for the first time was an incredible thing to hear. And we put the match together. We said what we were going to do out there and made magic happen. And here we are now, months later, and people are still talking about the whole thing. So we definitely made a moment happen out there. And I just feel honored to be able to be the one that was, you know, what the guy in there with Chris to make that moment happen that people are still talking about. And that night had the whole wrestling world talking. It was incredible.
It certainly was a moment. We are talking to Action Andretti, and I'm interested to just discuss a little bit in detail further when you found out what the finish of that match was going to be, how you approached the rest of your day or what was going through your mind?
There wasn't much of the rest of the day to have because I found out a couple hours before, maybe 2-3 hours before.
Okay. Well, that's a little
while.
It's some time. Yeah, it's some time.
So we had that conversation of what was going to go on. I remember just having to like go to a separate room and just like let out my like yell, like just let out a big yell. Like it was a whole lot going on. Like once I found that out, like I needed to go somewhere in privacy and just let it all out. Let out my excitement and my nerves at the same time that I had, because they were there. It was a lot. It really was a lot. I found out that I was going to be going over, and it seemed too good to be true. I was kind of thinking like, why, like, how did I get put in this situation? Like, I knew I couldn't tell anybody. We had to keep it a surprise the whole day. I wanted to tell everybody. Like, I wanted to be, oh my God, guess what I just found out? Like, guess what I just heard? But kept it to myself, got some privacy, like let out all my excitement, all the nerves. Came back to where everybody was, tried my best to keep my composure. Like, I didn't hear that I was just beating Chris Jericho. Like, no, what are you talking about? Kept that cool. I didn't hear that. What'd you hear? Kept that cool. And then I just knew, like, when it was time to go out there, like, let the nerves, like, in the back. And I can't have them out there. Like, I knew I had to go out there. I had to show what I can do and basically just show up and show out. And I felt like I did that. So definitely nervous going in there, but I had to let it all out, you know?
My favorite part of this whole day was, like, I ran into you, and I was like, hey, remember you back in October when, yeah, the match was QT, it was great. We just both assume you're losing. I'm like, yeah, okay, it'll probably be like 2 minutes, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We walk in the room, Chris tells us what's happening, and I have this giant shit-eating grin on my face, like, oh my God, this is going to be so cool. And you're sitting there like your head just exploded.
Yeah.
And we're both like, oh God, we can't tell anybody. Oh, this is going to be hard. Okay. So we go out there, right? Codebreaker happens. You kick out and the crowd just loses their minds because it's like, oh, this is interesting. And I remember going to the back after and talking to some people, and everyone in the back was shocked too.
Yep.
Because this doesn't happen in wrestling often, right? Everyone's just like, Codebreaker, 1-2. Oh my God, he kicked out. And everyone's chanting, let's go jobber. Like, it was absolutely insane. So it was really, really cool to be a part of a moment like that, because that kind of stuff doesn't happen in wrestling.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool, we just made this kid overnight. No big deal.
Yeah, no, like, you know, when you have the boys and the girls in the back of the locker room going crazy, that you're doing something good out there. Even after, like, coming through the back and seeing them all and, like, having so many people approach me and, like, I've said it before, but, you know, I came through the back and they all just gave me a standing ovation, like, as I walked through the back. And, like, people were there who I am, like, really big fans of. And to see them, like, give me that praise and give me that love, it felt so good. And it was so cool to see. Let's go, jobber.
Did you do anything to celebrate after?
That night?
Yeah.
I ate some really good pizza that night. Celebrated with some pizza with some pepperoni on it. And no, I mean, right after, I called my family. They were all so, like, in so proud of me and whatnot. My mom was actually there. She flew out to Texas. Like,
oh
yeah, she was there, so she got to see it live. And she was very, very proud, very emotional mom at that point. She had no idea either. None of us did, but it was cool to be able to, like, have my family, like, be able to see me on TV and my mom be there live to see it and just, like, hear and see their reaction after. It was really cool. So that was my celebration.
We are talking with Action Andretti here on AEW Unrestricted. Tony and Aubrey with you. And Action, I wanted to make a statement here and get your response to it. I think what happened that night to me shows how much of a leader Chris Jericho is to our company. In this world that we live in, where people feel that if they lose a match, their career is going to be over, or they're not willing to do the job, or they worry about their creativity. Chris Jericho has enough confidence in his ability and what he has done in this business to be able to do something like that. Your thoughts on that?
Like, for Chris to, like, put me in that situation and just know that he was going to, like, help make me into a star in a way, like, it was very, like, he doesn't have to do that for anybody.
Right.
He's Chris Jericho. Like, he definitely has, like, a leadership in AEW to, you know, help make new stars, and he has in the past. I'm very grateful that he even saw something in me to even, like, think about giving me that chance and, you know, like, help make me into a star. Like, the fact that he even saw my match with QT and just like was in the back, like watching, because he could be in the back just watching and then like keep it pushing because he's a busy man. He's got a lot of stuff to do. He doesn't need to take the time to watch an AEW dark match like backstage. So the fact that he even took time to watch my match and, you know, see some potential in me, like that was crazy at that. And then the fact that he wants to like take me under his wing in a way and, you know, have me wrestle him one-on-one and put me over, and just, he knew what he was doing in that situation. Like he knew, like he saw potential in me. He knew that he could get like a buzz going for me and like make a name for me. So the fact that he did that, it shows how selfless he is, and it shows like how good of a guy Chris really is, and that he really cares about what's best for AEW and wants to help AEW grow and showcase like brand new talent like myself coming in and help like put some shine on, you know, our name. So it's very grateful for what Chris has done, and I'm sure he's going to do more of it in AEW over the years.
Kind of the great thing about him, he doesn't have to put people over, but he does time and time again. Such a great, great selfless dude. He's responsible for making names for a lot of people, including yourself and a bunch of other guys on our roster. So, but I mean, like you're here because you earned it. As you said, like your match with QT was great. You saw it, came back doing badass shit. It's great. Yeah. So now that you've been around AEW for a bit, you've been tagging with Ricky Starks, which is a great combination. I love the two of you together. What's it like working with Ricky?
He's really good to work with. He's very well liked in AEW, so it's cool to be like paired up with somebody who is so over in the business right now. He's been very helpful like for me, like just learning wise, because I am very much still learning when it comes to, you know, in-ring stuff and, you know, timing and tag matches, you know, cutting our promos backstage. Like, he's been very helpful for me to, like, help me learn different things and stuff. You know, I was a fan of Ricky, like, before even coming into AEW. So, like, if I would have been, like, hearing this, like, 6 months back, I would be like, what? Like, I'm teaming with who? Ricky Starks? And we get to face Jay? Like, I feel so blessed just to be in these situations that I'm put in. Like, it's... Yeah, like he's so popular right now, and for him to like be like teamed up with the new kid, I'm kind of like, hey, like, what's up? I'm the new guy. We're a team now. Like, hope you like me and you dig what we got going here. Like, but nah, he's been really cool to me, and you know, I think we're starting to build like some good chemistry together, and it's cool to be in there with the absolute.
Action Andretti was making waves in wrestling when he first started, despite the pandemic sidelining everybody. And we'll talk about that when we continue on AEW Unrestricted.
This is AEW Unrestricted. Aubrey and Tony talking to one of the hottest rising stars in wrestling, Action Andretti. Comes in, beats Chris Jericho, Winter is Coming, and has had an incredible run so far, teaming with Ricky Starks, feuding with the JAS. Such a wonderful, wonderful time in AEW and watching this kid come in, kid. You're probably like the same age as me, whatever. Watching this kid come in and just make waves. It's been awesome. But I want to talk a little bit about more where you came from and how you started in wrestling. So you were born in Philly, which is a huge wrestling city, so I'm sure wrestling was already in your blood. But what was your first exposure to wrestling?
Watching it as a kid, for sure, on TV, just like flipping through the channels, seeing what's on, watching SmackDown, and like I was just bored at home on a Friday night and turned that on. And I watched the whole episode and I immediately fell in love. I swore that everything and anything about it was 100% real. I got into a huge, I was watching with my sister that night, I remember. And my mom was at work. And I remember us like bickering back and forth whether wrestling was real or not. And she was telling me, it's not real, it's not real. And I was like, yes, it is. Like, and then we waited for my mom to come home. And then she said, she told me, she was like, yeah, it's not all real. And I remember being so devastated when my mom told me that. Because I was getting into the biggest argument ever. But I didn't care. I still loved it. I still watched it like every week. Once I graduated high school, I like stopped playing high school sports. Like I played football, wrestling. And I did a bunch of stuff. But I didn't go to college. So like I wasn't playing sports anymore. I eventually like realized like I want to start wrestling school. Like I want to give this a shot. I looked up wrestling schools near me. I found one in Maryland, drove my ass there, walked through the door, saw what they had going on there. And, you know, it was one of my coaches that was there. He handed me two tickets for the show that they were having that weekend. I went there, I saw the show, and I knew like for sure that I wanted to be a part of that. And then started training like 2 weeks after that. And here we are.
And once you started taking bumps, you realize, oh, it is real.
Yeah.
Yes.
When people say it's not real, I get that, but there's a lot of realism about it in that it is physicality.
Oh, it's real.
Yeah, it's real. The bumps are real. So I get that. So you go to Maryland, and I believe that's MCW Pro Wrestling, right?
Correct. Yep.
And you just, how did you find it? Did you look up on the internet, or how did you find MCW?
Yeah, I just typed in wrestling schools near me. A couple came up, but really that one was like the closest drive for me. It was about an hour and a half. I just showed up. I really just like typed it in on my GPS, and I showed up. I walked through those doors. I saw a bunch of wrestlers in there setting up for a show. I just told them, yeah, I want to be a part of this. And it was really good that that was my option, because MCW is a really great wrestling school. And
it is.
They train me very well. You know, they bring in a lot of good names to come in there to work with. And it's a good facility. There's like three rings in there. So plenty of rings to like, you know, get your training in and stuff. So I'm really happy that ended up being the one that I signed up with.
Wonderful. So the pandemic hits. A few months shortly after you start training, so March 2020. What did you do at that point?
So honestly, the pandemic, it really did like killed like my momentum. Like I was training for about a year. I started getting put on like the MCW shows. Like that was my ultimate goal, to make it onto these MCW shows and just to be able to wrestle in front of a crowd. Because I didn't wrestle on a show for a whole year. Like, and I think I was ready maybe like 6 to 8 months in. And I knew like I was ready, and I knew I could go out there and perform like really well. I had confidence in my ability. They kind of sidelined me to save me for something. But yeah, like once I got that first match out there, like I went out, I did all my stuff. I went super hard. Like I just basically showed like, yo, like I can go. You know, I had probably like maybe 3 or 4 after that. And then the pandemic hit. Training gets shut down. No more shows. I was just getting a little bit of the momentum for myself. And like I said, it all just stopped right there. All I could really do was just like continue to watch tape, train here in my room, like as much as I can, and just shadow wrestling. I did a lot of shadow wrestling during the pandemic, a lot. Just tell myself like one day we'll be back. Like this is just a pause right now. Cause so many people, like they just up and quit during the pandemic. It got so to their head that they just quit. And with wrestling, like we all get that feeling at some points, like pandemic or not, like where we like kind of like second guess ourselves or kind of second think certain things, like why am I not doing this, or why am I like, you just always have to tell yourself, you keep working, you keep doing what you've been doing, hard work will pay off. So I just try to stay positive through the whole pandemic, because it really did like suck having to like just sit at home and not do any wrestling. I just had some momentum going for myself. It really like messed with me like mentally a little bit, but I kept kicking. And then once we came back stronger than ever, got in there, had my first match like since the pandemic, and then just was on a roll after that. And then that's when I realized as well, like I'm not just working MCW, I'm getting everywhere that I can. I'm hitting the road, hopping in the car, putting miles on the car. It also definitely helped me like not take anything for granted within wrestling. Like having all the fans come back, not seeing people at all. Like I was genuinely like the happiest I've ever been to like see fans and just talk to them and take pictures with them and just interact with them. Like I was genuinely super happy, like just to have all that interaction when we came back.
That was going to lead to our next question. What exactly was the indie scene like just as those restrictions were loosening up around the pandemic? Did it all come back with a force, or did it trickle back? How did that happen?
I think it came back like it never left. Just right back. We got the go to go. We're going. Shows every weekend again. Like, just right back to it. And I love that. I love that because that's exactly how I wanted it. Like, I didn't want to just do one show and then have to wait a little bit longer to do the next. It was back to back. Same thing with training. Like, it did suck having to train with a face mask on. That was the worst. Oh my God. That was bad. But
yeah,
sweaty masks are not a good thing. Yeah. But no, I really do feel like everything just kicked right back into force and everybody just started coming in hot. Like I said, came in like we never left. And it was a good feeling to just be right back on the grind, you know?
I like when wrestling comes back and you're like, I'm ready to go. let's do this. And then suddenly you have this like crazy rise. 2021, you're the Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup winner. And then October 15th, 2022, congratulations, the MCW Heavyweight Champion.
Thank you.
Which I think was wild. I remember hearing, asking about you backstage at Winter is Coming. Like, what do we know about this kid? He's like, oh, he's like MCW Heavyweight Champion. I'm like, oh, okay. So he's somebody. So what does that mean having like, because you hadn't actually been training that long prior to that. And like the pandemic kind of slows everyone down and whatnot. What does it mean to come in after the pandemic and suddenly start just like representing your home promotion at the highest level? What does that mean for you?
I knew it meant that they like had a lot of faith and they believed in me to like be somewhat of a star, like not just there in MCW, but like possibly like elsewhere. I remember finding out I was winning the Shamrock Cup that day. And I honestly didn't think I was winning it because like I was very new. That was one I was very, very happy to win because a lot of guys have won that before who I'm like really big fans of. And it's been around for a long time, that Shamrock Cup, and it's a whole tournament. And they always bring in like really big names to work those tournaments. Like it's not just like the normal roster guys. When I defended that Shamrock Cup title last year, like I was the only one that wasn't a name in the ring. Everybody else that was in there has been signed to a promotion like at one point in their career. Like I was the only one in there that was just the MCW kid when I defended it, not when I won it. But that year, like when I won it, say, like I was still in there with a good amount of names and, you know, superstars. And it was definitely one of my like first few times working with names. So it also helped me become, you know, a lot better just getting the experience working with guys who have been doing this for 10, 15 years, whatever it may be. So it was cool to like first like get thrown in there with some names, but then like to win the whole tournament was a very, very accomplished moment for me. And I was very grateful that they let me have that. It's definitely one that I wanted. I wish I could have won it back to back. I wish I was I could have. I thought they were going to do it for me. I thought they were going to give it to me twice, but it's all good. After that, I was like, man, if I can be back to back Shane Shamrock champion, that'd be kick ass. But Flip Gordon, he got the better of me that night.
Damn that guy.
He's good looking, but damn that guy.
I mean, he didn't win the title on the boat, so.
He didn't win a title on the boat. That is, yes, he lost then. But it was really good to win that Shamrock championship. And then, you know, I didn't win the second one, but not many months after that, I had the opportunity to fight for the MCW Heavyweight Championship. And had a lot of hard matches with the champion. His name is Brian Johnson. You know, we've had some battles in the MCW ring, and you know, one night we wrestled and I got the better of him, and I took that strap right off his waist, put it around mine, represented that company as the heavyweight champion, and damn, that felt just as good. Like to have like probably the two biggest, you know, championships you can have in that company. It's like I did good with my time there. You know, it makes me know like, you did good, kid. You did all right while you were in MCW.
Fan questions coming up next for Action Andretti on AEW Unrestricted. This is AEW Unrestricted. Tony Schiavone and Bitch Aubrey. And we are with...
Whatever. I love you. You're the only person that gets away with that.
I know. I love you, too. We are talking to Action Andretti. Being from Philadelphia, are you in mourning after the Super Bowl?
Oh,
honestly, I'm not the hugest Eagles fan. I was definitely rooting for them.
Yeah.
I do like the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes a lot.
Okay, that's cool.
I wasn't too upset about it, you know.
Okay, well, change your address.
Yeah.
Don't live back in Philly then. Okay.
Oh boy.
So being from Philadelphia, being from the Northeast, here's the serious question. Sheets or Wawa?
Oh.
Wawa, all day.
What's your go-to at Wawa?
I do have a specific order that I get every time. It is a crispy chicken sandwich with bacon.
Yeah.
The French fries to go with it with cheese fries.
Yeah.
Chicken quesadillas. And then I'll either get like a smoothie or a milkshake if I feel like putting some tub on this tummy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like a $20 bill that I get like a couple times a week for sure.
Still, $20 is like, that's a lot of food for $20.
It is a lot of food for $20. And like minus the milkshake and the smoothie, it's like $15. Sometimes I don't get the milkshake or smoothie and it's just $15. Like it is a really good deal, to be honest. And it's not like the most like junky food. Like, it's kind of healthy. It's not healthy. It's still gas station
fried food, chicken. Yeah, kind of healthy.
Yeah. The quesadillas, you know, some good chicken in there. Get some protein.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not judging at all.
Look, I'm 25. I eat what I want.
Okay? Exactly.
Yeah, that metabolism will go away. Just wait. Yep.
It sure will.
I'm enjoying it while I can.
Yeah, when you're 40 because you're a dude and it's not fair.
The next question was, what's your favorite cheat meal? And I guess you'd answer that all in one one fell swoop. Or maybe you don't have a cheat meal at all. Maybe just cheat like hell and the metabolism burns it away.
I think it's that one, to be honest. Okay. I mean, I still eat really well. Like, I'll meal prep, you know, some chicken, steak, rice, some broccoli and all that stuff. But I definitely have my cheat meals about every day as well. But I work it all off. You know, I do my cardio. I try to hit abs and work out really hard. So I'm not just eating like shit and sitting around, you know.
Totally.
Like me. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. We both have the advantage of Tony and I are on TV with our shirts on. So
that's right.
We got to break the rules a little bit. You don't have that luxury. So
maybe when I'm 40, you'll see me wrestling with a shirt on.
Maybe. That's why guys start incorporating the singlet. It's like, oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah.
When you're 40, dude, I'll be long gone. So anyway,
you'll still be around.
He'll still be around.
You'll be even more bitter and old then, but you'll still be around.
I remember that referee. Her name was Aubrey Edwards.
She's always been a bitch.
Yeah, always been a bitch. And that's the way it was. And I liked it. Okay.
All right. Let's get to questions. Oh, my God. Question from Chris Britt on Twitter. How was your experience on the Jericho cruise? And would you do another one?
My experience on the cruise was incredible. I would certainly do another one. It's not even a question if I would do another one. I had a blast. Getting to wrestle on a cruise was one of the coolest experiences ever. And like, the fans there were so into it as well. One of the funniest things in all of like the wrestling that went on that week was the Scissor and Jesus to me.
Oh my God.
When the crowd was chanting, "Oh, scissor me, Jesus," I was back there losing my mind. Like, I was just like, this is wrestling. Like, this is what this is. We can like be all like serious about it and like get in our heads, but this is really what it is. It's a guy dressed up as Jesus and the crowd around him chanting to scissor Jesus and everybody in there wanting to scissor Jesus. Like, that was the funniest thing ever, but it was really cool. I had some really good food to eat there. You know, I ate a lot of ice cream. Going back on the cheat meals, you know, they had some really good ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, soft serve ice cream 24/7 is kind of a dangerous thing.
It was very dangerous. Good thing they had a gym in there as well.
The gym was very nice.
Yeah, you had a view of the ocean inside of the gym. Like, that was really cool. I wish I got a picture of that. Yeah, just like all the activities to do during the day, you know, like all the stuff at night. We did a bunch of karaoke. We sung our hearts out for the fans. It was really cool. I was really happy that I got invited to be on there. And I really hope to be there again next year. I'm sure it'll be even more kick-ass next year. Because Chris just he's the guy that keeps making things better, you know? So I hope I'm there next year. It'll be really cool.
Next question is from Ross. That is at Ross on Twitter. What's the inspiration behind your ring name?
Well, Action Andretti, with my style of wrestling, I bring a lot of action. I like the double A
right.
Sequence that the name has. Andretti's just kind of a name that was came up with. And with the help of my coaches at wrestling school, we kind of just, you know, I had a bunch of different names I was going to go by before. You don't want to hear any of them because they were terrible. They were the shit.
Oh, no. Now I do.
No, don't do that. I'm sorry.
Peer pressure.
So we were actually talking about singlets before, like, and wearing them. When I first started wrestling, I would wear like my high school singlet that I would wear like in the off season wrestling. And yeah, I didn't have any gear. I just wore my singlet and wrestling shoes. We used to have birthday party matches at my wrestling school. We would wrestle on to like learn before you, that's what you do before you get on actual shows. Mm-hmm. And I worked one of those birthday party matches one day. And my coach was like, "You're going to be called the singlet." And I ran with the singlet for like 2 months, probably. And then another one that I had was Tyler Takeoff.
Oh,
yeah. I went as Tyler Takeoff for a little bit. You know, I thought I taked off. I did like a little T thing here, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was bad. It was bad. I know. That's, yeah. You did this, Aubrey. You made me do this. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? It's good content.
You asked for it.
Yeah. You answered.
Yeah. we realized that, yes, those names were indeed the shits. You know, I started like thinking of a couple others and like as long as my, along with my coaches as well. And, you know, we put together Action Andretti and Double A is here today. They'll kick him. So Action was the winner.
Question from Sam Moxley. You talked a little bit about the Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup and the MCW Heavyweight Championship in our last segment. But Sam Moxley wants to know, which one are you more proud of, the Shane Shamrock Memorial Cup or the Heavyweight Championship at MCW?
Sam, that's a good question. Honestly, because I was a lot more new when I won the Shamrock Championship, I think that one might have hit a little bit more for me because that was like my first, like I never won any like championship or bell or tournament, nothing before in wrestling. So like that was my first ever like big deal that I like of something that I won. So I think like that moment right there, that was like another moment, like after, like I just had to like take some time to myself and just like really like soak it in and appreciate like what just happened out in front of like those fans. So for that being like my first big title to win, I think that one was a little bit more special. When I won the heavyweight championship too, those were the only two titles I ever won in wrestling, honestly. I've never had any other belts anywhere. Like, so to have that and then a heavyweight championship right after, because when you're the heavyweight champion, you're the guy of the company. Like, you're representing, like I was the guy representing MCW at one point. So like, and I'm pretty sure I was like, if not the youngest, one of the youngest to win the heavyweight champion. So, and especially to win the heavyweight championship and then to like sign with AEW after, like, I think it made the title even more important right before that. So like, went to AEW and wasn't like working the MCW shows as much. Like, I got to like hold that title for a little bit and, you know, help give it some meaning, because that's how I felt about the Shamrock Cup. Like, the guys that won it before, they gave it so much meaning. Now that I'm one of the guys that like made both of those titles like have some meaning, it's like, it's really cool. It's really cool to be that.
Nathaniel H wants to know, who are your top five dream opponents that you want to face?
Ooh, we sticking with AEW here, I'm guessing, right?
Say whatever you want to say here, brother.
Yeah, dude.
Brock Lesnar! No. Bryan Danielson is definitely a big one of mine that I would love to wrestle.
Got that.
I think it'd be cool to wrestle MJF at some point as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many good guys in AEW that I want to work with.
Yeah.
The Elite and Death Triangle, all six of those guys are like dream matches for me. All those guys, like, they are, those are the guys, like, those are the guys right there. Like, I'd love to like be able to work with all of them. I'm massive fans of all their work. Brian Cage is another one. I've worked with him at MCW actually before. So if we got to wrestle in AEW, that'd be pretty cool. Takeshi, he's been doing really well. Like, he's,
oh my God.
Yeah, he's a really good wrestler. I'd love to tie it in there with him. AEW really just has so many talented wrestlers. I really hope like I get to like get in the ring with all of them, because I think like there's so many great matches that like that can be made with all the guys there. So I have a really big list. The list probably has like 50 names on it, but those are definitely some of the top guys there that I'd like to work with.
I like that you were asked for five and you gave 11. So just always overperforming.
That's cool.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. I could keep going too if you'd like. Like I said, it's probably about 50.
We'll just pull up the spreadsheet of the roster and we'll just start naming everybody.
Yes. Yep.
That's pretty much what it is. Question from Matt Euler. What makes AEW different from the other promotions you've been in?
Honestly, one thing that I really love about AEW is just the homegrown talent. Talent that has never been like signed anywhere else before, like myself, you know, just people who have started with AEW and like has helped make AEW what it is today. I love the fact of just how new it is. Like, it's still growing like every day. Like, who knows where this company is going to be in 5 years? It's just growing more and more. Like, they just announced that like ESPN is going to be broadcasting coming up soon. Like, that was huge.
I didn't see that. Holy shit.
No, that's in Australia, right?
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, that's in Australia. But just the fact of like how much of a true fan like Tony is of wrestling, how excited I see him getting like backstage, and when he goes out in between shows and he fires up the crowd, like, I love seeing that every week. And to work for a guy who like just genuinely loves this so much, like, that's the type of guy I want to work for. It's cool to be able to be a part of it. This is really where I wanted to be. So I'm glad like this is where I ended up and I had the chance to, you know, even get a shot to become part of this company. So,
well, buddy, I thought about this a lot. We started in October of 2019, You weren't even a wrestler at that time when AEW started in October 2019. You started a month later.
Yep. Yeah.
That shows how quick your career's taken off. So congrats on that, man.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate that a lot. I definitely don't take it for granted either. I know how quick everything happened for me. And it shows though, like you get out of it once you put into it. And I really do preach that. I preach the hell out of that. If you're not putting in the work in the gym every week, if you're not putting in the work in the ring every week, if you're not hitting shows on the weekends, you're going to stay where you are. You're not going to get much out of this. So hard work is what is going to help elevate you and get you places. I really do try to preach that to everybody out there trying to become something in wrestling.
I also think a big part of this, and it's evident from knowing you, but it should be evident as well after listening to this podcast, but like you have such a positive outlook on things. Like, yeah, we're just going to go and we're just going to see what happens and we're just going to try hard and do the best. And I think that attitude in combination with your work ethic is a big reason why you've hit the platform you have so quickly. So you should be proud of yourself, man. I'm sure you are, but you should be proud of yourself.
No. Yeah. That's another thing I preach is positivity, because like being negative gets you nowhere with any situations at all. If you're going to be negative about it, like what are you going to get out of it? Nothing. Stay positive. Like I always tell myself, things can be worse. Like if you're down, like if you're low on money even, or like if you're feeling down, you're feeling upset, like things can always be worse. And I really do try to stay positive with everything, like even outside of wrestling. I'm not a negative person, I feel like, because it really gets you nowhere. It gets you nowhere in life. But thank you for realizing that.
Thank you, buddy. Our thanks, Action Andretti. By the way, you can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Action Andretti. And you can also listen and follow this podcast and our TV shows by listening to Aubrey Edwards right now.
You can listen and follow this podcast, AEW Unrestricted, for free. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can check out the video episodes on YouTube. You can see Tony's amazing little dog. Just search AEW Unrestricted. AEW Dynamite, TBS on Wednesdays. AEW Rampage on TNT on Fridays. And of course, Dark on Tuesdays. Dark Elevation on Mondays. Both of those are on YouTube. I am Aubrey Edwards. And my best friend, Tony Schiavone. We're here with Action Andretti. Thank you for listening to AEW Unrestricted.
Come on, throw your hands up. Let me see you. Unrestricted.